You know, with this virus thing going on, many people are having to be home. Some are still able to work from home. Others are just unemployed. But even people who are still able to go to work, there's less traffic. Life in some ways has slowed down to be able to stop and smell the roses, as they say. And it's been a time and is a time for many people to kind of look at their priorities in life. For many, they're finding out sports are not the end-all of everything. I had a conversation with some people this week from my Rotary Club. We were on Zoom, and sports never once came up, you know. And I think for some people, it's going to be an opportunity to look at their life and figure out what's important and realize sports are good and they're a marvelous add-on to life. But that's not my life. For others, it may be, you know, they'll get back to work and, well, work is good. I'm glad to be back to work. But I realize work is not my life. That my life is more than that. My life is more important than just the things I do. And so it's time to kind of reflect upon life and who I am and what's important to me and what direction am I going. And when we have times of reflection, it does involve repentance. Repentance is just taking a recognition of where I'm at and changing direction. It's turning from one thing, turning to another. And in this situation, it's an opportunity for us to see what our struggles are in life, what our shortcomings are, what our sins are, what we struggle with, and recognize our guilt in these things, and then turning around to God and recognizing that He loves us, He wants to forgive us, He wants to bless us, and He wants to help us overcome the things that we recognize are sin in our lives. And this is a great time to reflect upon that. Even in our world, you know, all the good things that our people are able to do, you know, besides slowing down, you know, we see in town couples out for a walk that maybe they might not have done in a long time. I've seen a number of cases this week of dogs out walking their owner. And some kids out playing, still not like it used to be. Many are still attached to their electronics, but that's okay. But for many people, it's a time, you know, to slow down and reflect and reconnect and good stuff. For others, though, where they have been struggling in bad situations, where there's been family violence, for many that's gotten worse because, well, they're more trapped and they're more depressed. Those suffering in depression, many are having a rougher time. For those who maybe have addictions, they're finding a rougher time. People who were borderline in those things, sliding into those things. So there's the downside to all of this, too. But even in those situations, there's time for people to reflect and think about their situation in their own life, look at themselves, and hopefully some are beginning to turn to realize their need for God. Most people are just eagerly looking for things to get back to normal, and they're not going to learn anything. They're just going to come back, and when things can get back to work, they can get back to whatever, and they'll just get right back to what they were doing and have learned nothing. But hopefully for others, there's going to be that opportunity to realize their need for God and then actually come to Jesus and allow Him to work on their hearts and minds. But that's true for you and I as Christians too, because we can be so busy as Christians. We live in this world. We know what it is to work. We know what it is to have responsibility for all the things we volunteer with. We're just busy, busy, busy. And it's easy then to lose track of our relationship with God. Even coming to worship can just be something part of life's routine rather than truly being personal. It can happen, and it does happen. And so repentance, even for us as Christians, is important to actually have this time for ourselves to not only listen to God, but also look at ourselves and take an honest look at ourselves. And then that opens up communication with God more intimately, more personally. Now, importance. Why is repentance important? Well, it's important for many reasons. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, we find here that when Jesus began to preach in his ministry, he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." That was the theme for Jesus throughout his ministry. He preached many things, taught many things, but every bit of his teachings was based upon this fact: you need to repent. Because God wants to forgive, God wants to love us, God wants to bless us, but he wants us to recognize our own sinfulness and turn to him for help. And this is so because, well, Jesus said so many, many times in the Gospels. John the Baptist, the baptism he performed with people in the Jordan, he called it a baptism of repentance. And we'll look at a verse here in a moment because you have the handouts for that there. The apostles in the book of Acts and in the letters all said so. A couple places it even says God says you must repent, you know, personally. There is no forgiveness, there's no salvation without repentance. Because that's the act of being honest with oneself and turning to God for help and committing to that help that God can give. And that's important. In Matthew chapter 3, John, the apostle, or John the Baptist, he's baptizing in the Jordan, and even some of the religious leaders came to see what he was doing. And he said, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." Notice his emphasis: repent, 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 and produce fruit in keeping with that repentance. Now, just saying you're sorry is not enough. Now you have to follow through. But notice he's not sugarcoating this. He said, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" Now, people need to realize that they're sinners and that they're separated from God. And even for us as Christians, sometimes there's maybe things in our lives that are keeping us from being fully free in Jesus, fully open to talk to him and trust him in everything. We need to repent of whatever's holding us back, whatever's limiting us. Because those are things that separate us, at least in part, from God. Luke 5, Jesus said, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." There's a word that's been kind of lost over the last number of decades, the word sinner. You know, you don't hear people talk about sin much anymore, and that's unfortunate. I think the church now needs more than ever to talk about sin, to talk about the fact that we're all sinners and we all need Jesus Christ. So many people think, "Well, I'm a decent person, I'm okay." Well, you may be a decent person, but you're not okay. You're still a sinner and you need God's help. And Jesus was not shy about telling people. He did it lovingly. You know, he wasn't saying you're a sinner like he was beating them over the head. But he was stating a fact that everyone really knows deep down inside. And he was just reminding them and bringing it out into the open. In Luke 24, he told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Notice what was to be preached: repentance and forgiveness. There's no forgiveness unless there's repentance. Because if without repentance, the person doesn't care. Repentance shows, I recognize myself, I recognize what's wrong, I need help. And God helps. You know, he gives freely. He wants to give freely. In Acts chapter 5, they have been discussing about the Gentiles becoming Christians, and it says, "God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel." This is Peter talking here. Notice, Jesus is Savior so he might give repentance. Repentance. He's made it possible for all of us, every person, to come to him in repentance, to reject our sin and seek his help. And in Acts 11, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself here. That's where they were talking about the Gentiles becoming Christians. And in the report that the disciples are making, it says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, So then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. What a wonderful thing that God was allowing Gentiles, non-Jews, to be able to come back to God, to repent of their sin and turn to Him. In Acts 26, Paul is giving a summary of his ministry. And he says, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Notice he used the word repent twice. You know, that was part of Paul's message. And so many rejected that because they didn't want to repent. But so many did accept his message. They realized that God loved them and was willing to forgive them and help them from that point on. And in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." You notice the difference there when it comes to repentance. You can feel sorry about whatever sin you've done or whatever you struggle with. You can feel bad about that. You can even tell people, "I'm so sorry." But you're still going to have the regret, and you're still going to die with that. But godly sorrow is recognizing our own sin, recognizing what we've done wrong or what our bad attitude is or whatever we may be struggling with. And we turn to God, and here we own up to God, and God says, "Wonderful, I forgive you. Let me help you." And with that now, there is no regret because we know we are forgiven and we're getting help to grow, you know, in relationship with God and to say no in increasing measure to the things that trouble us. It's love and it's forgiveness and it's grace versus just being sorry and having regret. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God." You notice what he says there? Repentance is part of the elementary teaching of the gospel. Repentance is foundational. It's foundational. It's where it all starts. When we realize our sin and we turn to God for help, that leads us to eternal life. That leads us to growth, to maturity. And we become more and more what we ourselves want, not only what God wants. And lastly, in 2 Peter 3, Peter wrote, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Notice again, even what's going on in our world today, I don't know whether God has caused this pandemic in order to draw people to himself or whether it's something that sinful man has allowed to happen and God is using it. Either way, God is using this to call people to himself, to make people slow down, to stop and to think, to realize we are fragile beings. We are not God. We are all subject to sin. We're all subject to death. We need a Savior. Many will not give God any credence, and they're all hoping that things will get better and they can get back to what they were doing before. But hopefully there are those who are paying attention, who during this slowdown are forced to really look deep within themselves and realize their need for God and His forgiveness, that they will see their need for His help in their life. And in so doing then, they will repent. They will turn to God for help. And even for you and I, we still need to do that, no matter how long we've been Christians, because we're all still sinners. We all still struggle with sin, either through behavior or through attitudes or whatever. And we need to take advantage of this time to just truly take time to be with God. You know, before all of this, it was easy to be busy, you know. To be busy working, to be busy, you know, with school, to be busy with things that we volunteered with or fun things we did. It was easy to be busy. Even for church, even for Christians, you know, it's time to go to church, got to go to church. Oh, it's time to go to Bible study, got to go to Bible study. And we fit it into our busy schedule. One of my favorite Christian artists back from the 70s was a guy named Chuck Gerard. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that name. But he was part of a Christian rock group in the early 70s called Love Song. And they were the first Christian rock group, strictly Christian rock group. And they had a couple LPs, a couple albums, and then Chuck went solo. And as far as I know to this day, he's still today a music minister with a church in Florida. But he released quite a few albums, and I have them all. And there was one that he released back in the 80s. And in it, there's a song called Busy. And it's an upbeat, fast-tempo song. And, you know, busy, 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 busy day. Busy day is what it's called. And it's about a man who was busy. And he was busy doing this, and he was busy doing that, and he was handing out tracts, and he was telling people, you need to repent, and you need Jesus. And he goes on. At the end of the day, of his busy day, and he finally has time to sit down and take a breath, he realized he was so busy that he never once prayed that day. He never once prayed for anyone. And he never told anyone the true gospel message. He gave them snippets and tracts, but he had not given love. You know, even for us as Christians, sometimes we get caught up in this world, we get busy. And even if we're doing Christian things, we can do it out of busyness rather than being really connected with God. And being busy can do that. So let's make this time of being slower to really reconnect with God. Talk to Him about the things that really trouble us. Talk with Him about people we care about. Talk with Him about things we struggle with. Talk to Him as we look within ourselves. And then listen to His voice as He speaks through His Word or as He speaks through our consciousness, that He says, I love you, I forgive you, I'm here to help you. Let this be a time that we allow God to rekindle the flame within us. We're going to sing about that in just a moment. Rekindle the flame in us. We have time to reconnect so that during this downtime, we have an opportunity not only for ourselves, but maybe to share with someone else their need to repent. Maybe they're moaning and groaning, I can't wait for things to get back to normal, or why is this happening, or they're feeling sorry for themselves, or they're going through depression, or whatever their situation, we may have an opportunity to say, well, you know, look inside yourself. What do you see in yourself that you need help with, that God wants to help you with? Are there things in your life that aren't right? Maybe you need to take an honest assessment and see what's wrong, what you really know is wrong, and turn it over to God. This may be an opportunity for us to truly help somebody. And then once things start to get, quote, back to normal, unquote, to not get caught up in the busy, busy, busy again that so many are looking forward to, but rather to pace ourselves, to get back to work, to get back to the things that we enjoy doing, but to pace ourselves and to continue to be in touch with God, to allow the flame that He lights up within us to continue to burn brightly as we walk with Him and as we reach out with the gospel message to lost people. Right now, we're going to sing our communion song. It's in your song sheet there. Come Share the Lord. Rhonda and I discovered this song years ago when we were ministering in New Jersey. It's actually in the hymn book. And I'd never heard of it before. And one Sunday we did it. And I thought, oh, I love this. And it's still, I think, my favorite communion song. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flames. And I can honestly say, and I'm sure maybe perhaps you can too, that there have been times, you know, I would get busy, time can go by, you know, you get busy, you don't take time to pray, don't take time to, you know, open God's Word. You know, we can dampen that flame, you know, just by being busy and sometimes our struggle with sin. But in this quiet time that we have, this slowdown time, we have the opportunity to let God rekindle that flame, to get it really blazing again within our hearts and within our minds. Our God loves us so much, and what He gives us is so awesome. So let's allow Him during these weeks to really touch us deeply and to rekindle in us the zeal for Him. Let's sing together, shall we? Come share the Lord.